Well, good morning again, my dear brothers and sisters. It's very nice to be with you once more. So, yeah, myself and Sister Beth really enjoy coming down. It's a very nice sort of welcoming ecclesia, nice and small and very intimate. So, now, I did this exhort in New Lynn. I did it a couple of weeks ago, and it was on the readings for the day, and that was on the 26th of March. So, it's really based on, it was taken from Luke 18 and Proverbs 4. So I didn't think we should reread it again, but more just quickly refresh ourselves with it if you want to just quickly turn up. So we have there in this chapter, we have a few parables that Jesus speaks. And there's the first one there is about the certain judge. He wasn't a particularly religious man, but and there was the widow who made her appeal to him, and it talks about this at length because of the widow's persistence. He concedes to actually help her in her plight. And then we have the next parable. The next one is about the contrast between these two men that go to pray in the temple. We have the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the contrast between their two attitudes and the result of how they left in quite different circumstances there. And then we have Jesus welcoming the little children to come unto him. And then we also have the question from this certain rich young ruler asking Jesus, you know, what things do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes through the commandments. And then he is then asked, you know, what thing do I lack? And he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And we have the result of that is that was very difficult for that ruler to actually take on those things and to put his trust in God and not in the riches that he had. And then we have the surprise of the disciples who are remarking, well, who then can be saved? Because Jesus talks about easier, you know, for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, this very strange comparison here, and the surprise of the disciples. And then they ask, what's in it for us? We've left everything. What is there for us? And you know, he assures them of, you know, their reward. And then we're also warned about Jesus' sort of impending crucifixion that will soon come to pass and the trial that he will endure in Luke 18. So that's really the summation of that chapter there. Sorry, just bear with me one second. Right, and the real crux of the matter, what I wanted to base it on, was that at the very end there, we have this interesting side here of Jesus when he comes into Jericho and he's approached by this blind man begging at the side of the road. Now, we're not told what his name is, but there's a parallel record in the Gospel of Mark, which actually we're given a name, and his name is Bartimaeus. So he appeals to Jesus, and you know, Jesus actually does heal this man because he asks for his sight to be restored. So I just wanted to go a little bit at length and explain some of the interesting little anecdotes in this particular story. But there's also hints about how it ties in with the rest of these parables and sort of intertwines. We had a reading that particular day from Proverbs 4, and there's also another sort of echo that goes back to that. So that's really what I want to base this on. But I think for context, if we just read the parallel record in, I believe it's in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. So let's just read this because it contains a little bit more detail. So it doesn't leave you with questions as to why I've actually made a statement. We'll read that now. Mark 10, 46 to 52. So it says there, now they came to Jerusalem, so that's the disciples and Jesus, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Okay, so there we have that little interesting story. Now, I've entitled this exhortation, Lord, have mercy on me, give me sight. So it mirrors the cry of Bartimaeus that we see there. Now, as an introduction, I'd like to just discuss a few points before we launch into it. So there's really a war going on, not the war we see every day in the world news, but one that resides in our very minds. It is a battle of wills that threatens our future. It has been with us since the account of creation. In other words, the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. Light versus dark, day versus night, good versus evil. This is a battle where we are forced to take a side. We cannot be impartial observers sitting on the fence. There is no middle ground. If we do nothing, then our flawed nature, like the swift flowing river current, will overtake us, undermining our footing, and we will be overwhelmed, like Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, swept away by the darkness of human nature. So this is based, obviously, on the daily readings back in March 26. And so in the middle portion and the New Testament readings, where we read Proverbs 4 and Luke 8, there's a common thread of the contrast between godly wisdom and the wickedness of man. The light of God contrasted with the darkness of man. The proverb here in chapter 4 of Solomon encourages gently in the manner of a father tenderly encouraging his son to seek after wisdom and understanding in order that he might preserve his life and have a good reputation to others. The son is also warned of the pitfalls of the wicked and to avoid their ways at all costs, who, being blinded by their own darkness, stumble to their own destruction. So we read in Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 19, where it says, But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So we see this the whole echo, if we can think to blind Bartimaeus, is sort of a type here of blindness. The Luke reading in Luke 18 follows this thread. So first in the parable of the two men praying to God in the temple, by contrasting the attitude and thoughts, these were polar opposites in their standing before God. One justifying to himself his importance by box-ticking all his righteous deeds, whilst despising and resenting the other. The latter, in complete humility, aware of his failings and shortcomings, asks for mercy and forgiveness. The record continues to then expound on the things that weigh us down and obstruct our walk in the truth. With the certain rich ruler who owned very much and went away distressed after being challenged by Jesus to leave his riches and give all to the poor. The test being too great that would show his true trust in God. So now we come to blind Bartimaeus, which is in Luke 18 verses 35 to 43 and the parallel record in Mark 10 verse 46 to 52 that we've read this morning. So we are introduced at the close of the Luke chapter to a blind beggar called Bartimaeus, who was on the outskirts of Jericho sitting by the roadside, hoping for people passing by to take pity on his predicament and drop a coin or two. Upon hearing a commotion of a large crowd moving through, he asked the people in front of him what was happening, and is told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, flanked by a large crowd. Knowing that he would not be able to make it through the press of people surrounding Jesus because of his blindness, and sensing that his opportunity would quickly pass him by, should he not act straight away, he cries out in distress with all his might to be heard above the noisy crowd, all clamoring for Jesus' attention. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Even before Bartimaeus had any personal contact with Jesus, he believed him to be the Messiah. "Son of David" is the term Matthew used in his gospel to prove to the Jews that Jesus was the promised Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, this title is a reference to the messianic promise in Isaiah 9 verses 6 to 7, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, essentially, the Messiah would be a descendant of David, whose kingdom would last forever. The Pharisees of the day were questioning Jesus' authority, despite the irrefutable miraculous deeds he did in God's name. Yet they aligned him with Beelzebub in Matthew 12, verses 23 to 24, where it says, "And all the multitudes were amazed and said, how could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Yet, here was blind Bartimaeus, bellowing out the truth for anyone who would listen that Jesus was the promised Messiah. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Though people tried to silence him, Bartimaeus was completely focused on Jesus. Like the first parable Jesus gives at the start of Luke 18, of the unjust judge and persistent widow, who was delivered from her predicament because of her incessant appeals. Bartimaeus ignored the disapproval and criticism of the crowd and continued to cry even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His cries had the desired effect by getting the attention of Jesus, who stopped walking and commanded for him to be brought through the crowd, just like in Luke 18, verse 7 to 8. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And that's the comparison with the unjust judge and the mercy and kindness of our Heavenly Father. When Bartimaeus realized that Jesus had stopped to talk to him, he immediately threw off his cloak, feeling his way through the noisy crowd that had previously been a hindrance for him. The crowd now was passing before him as he desperately went to Jesus. Now keep in mind that Bartimaeus discarding his cloak was no small thing. In his predicament, it was essential to him, as he would have likely used it to spread in front and over his lap to catch the coins dropped in his direction. Otherwise, he would have to spend a lot of time on his hands and knees feeling the ground to see if anyone had dropped coins to him. Further to this, when Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, it was a show of faith, believing that Jesus would heal him, as it would be unlikely that he would be able to find his cloak again should he remain blind. Lastly, another reason for fleeing off the cloak may be because Bartimaeus wanted to be free of any impediment on his way to see Jesus. Cloaks were long, and if this cloak was draped across his body, it was an accident waiting to happen. Being blind, Bartimaeus would have found it difficult to navigate through the crowd without tripping on, stumbling, or being hampered by his heavy cloak. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, has a definite echo of Bartimaeus' plight contained within. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Here was a man that we deemed to be an outcast to others of the time, a society where physical ailments were believed to have been punishments for sin. Bartimaeus was someone people shunned and despised and most wanted to ignore. Deemed to be unclean and barred from even temple worship, yet now, with the gathered crowd, all eyes are on him as Jesus had called him forth, waiting with bated breath to see what spectacle or miracle the Son of God would work. Jesus, knowing full well what Bartimaeus needed, still proceeds in front of the crowd to ask him what he wants, extracting from him a public confession of his condition in front of the crowd, removing any doubt of anyone in the crowd of his ailment, as well as getting Bartimaeus to declare his faith in Jesus' ability to heal him. Jesus then declares in front of all the onlookers that because of the faith Bartimaeus showed, he had his sight restored and was made well. The shackles of darkness lifted from his eyes, with the brilliant light flooding in, the first face Bartimaeus would have seen is that of our Lord lovingly staring directly at him. What a joy that moment would have been for him, forever etched into his memory. Note Bartimaeus' response to being healed. He immediately followed Jesus and glorified God. There is no mention of him returning to find his cloak. Unlike the rich ruler, Bartimaeus was willing to lay aside his earthly cares of his former existence, his cloak, possibly his only possession, and follow Jesus wherever he went. So what can we learn from the example of Bartimaeus? There are many examples of blind men being healed in the gospel record. The comparison between physical blindness and spiritual blindness is often drawn to the forefront in these accounts. Jesus criticizes the religious leaders for their spiritual blindness after the account of healing the man born blind in John 9, verses 39 to 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment have I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with them heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." Despite knowing the law inside out, these leaders failed to recognize the very Son of God that had been sent to be their Messiah. They were so blind to their own sin of self-sufficiency and everything in the parables that Jesus had described, unjust judges, self-important, despising others of lower social standing, self-righteous, even praying in the presence of God, listing all their acts of righteousness, and lovers of status and wealth, just like the rich ruler. Contrast this with Bartimaeus, a man who truly understood the abstract concept of the darkness of man firsthand, unable to see any light at all, forever stumbling on rocks and obstacles in his path, groping around in darkness, having to rely on others for his help and survival, not able to provide for himself, and having an uncertain future. A man that had lost all pride and dignity, had little self-worth, and could only subsist on the kindness of others who would drop money as they passed by. Despite his blindness, Bartimaeus was able to clearly discern that which was right, to follow after Jesus. He recognized his predicament. Trapped in a world of darkness, he was able to see the spiritual light of the Son of God when he passed by and call out to him to be saved. His blindness gave him clarity to see what was wrong, acknowledge his faults, and desiring to change. Sometimes we can have too much clutter in our own lives to see what is important that can cloud our view of the light of the Word. We need to remove the obstacles in our way and cast off the things that tie us down, like Bartimaeus' cloak that was cast aside when Jesus called him. This man, despite his position in society and his poverty, knew his failings and sought Jesus out, and placed all his hopes and desires upon him. Jesus had compassion on him and healed him. Our Lord could only work with those who were humble and acknowledged their faults and desired change. Jesus says this in Luke 5 verse 31. "Those who are well need not a physician, but those who are sick." And again in Luke 19 verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." We cannot remain silent as Jesus passes by. Let us not squander our opportunity like the foolish virgins that ran out of oil. We too must act now and cry out. Just like Jesus that stopped when he heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus, we too can take great comfort in the fact that God waits for us if we call out to him. In 2 Peter verse 3 verse 9, chapter 3 verse 9 of 2 Peter, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We have to learn to ignore the criticisms and condemnations of our faith from others around us, to not let their noise drown us out, but to continue to call out to our God for help, recognizing our failings and asking him to help us to see clearly the way to follow Jesus, so that we might glorify God as Bartimaeus did and continue on the path that leads to everlasting life. Blind Bartimaeus had the true faith that is perfectly summed up in Hebrews 11 verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." showing us that he could see beyond mere human sight, faith being that which is beyond what is visible, the vision and hope of things to come. We come and meet together once more at this memorial feast to refocus on what our needs and failings are, to call out to God and allow him to give us our sight, to be touched by Jesus, the one who shows compassion and mercy, appreciates our nature, and is able to do far more than we need or even think for. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, brethren, let us echo the plea of desperate Bartimaeus, calling to Jesus to deliver him from the blindness of this world to see the light of God. Lord, have mercy on me. Give me sight. Thank you.